So, just like to make a few comments, short talk this evening to kind of get us started. We tend to be living in quite a dualistic world in which we know we love our inner life, we love our practice, we are inspired by books we read, by YouTube and teachers, by talks we read. We really get inspired. We sense something unlimited and free in life. And then conditions come along out in the street. In our family, our friends, our community, our politics, our planet, our body, our endless. And then they don't fit together. So this sense of the big space, the intuition we have of freedom, and then conditions are, oh, and how do we hold both together, the sense of freedom and the sense of being kind of attacked by conditions, conflict, and so on. And on one's level, this impossibility, the efshar, these two worlds, will give us, hopefully, a sense of urgency, dachuf, dachufli, not to stay with it, but I have to sort this one out. I feel, I can sense intuition. Even our childhood, we have, we all were beautiful free children playing, and then what happened? So it gives us an urgency to sort out this problem. How is it that I have an intuition of freedom, of spirituality? It exists, spirituality. It's not someone else's. We know it. It's in us somewhere. And yet, I go out in the street and I feel cannot be. So the conflict between the two, the nigud, the opposition, will give us an urgency to make sense of it. And between the free, basic freedom and the sense of struggle, what cuts through that is simply awareness. Because the awareness shows us our freedom and shows us our non-freedom. It shows us, if we're honest, can't speak much more loudly, a bit more, okay. If we're honest, we will watch our experience, and there will be moments of freedom and a sense of something in us that's big, a big heart and mind. And then the next moment, there will be a contracted thought, a struggle. Why do they do that? This is terrible. This is no good. I'm no good. They're no good. They should, etc., etc. If we're honest, we can have them. We can allow both. We can say, this thought is coming up as beauty, and this thought is coming up as a little shed katan. The awareness cuts through that. We don't have to hold that duality. We just have to notice this is a moment of freedom and this is a moment of non-freedom. Or, to another language, this is a moment of purity, tahor, and this is a moment of zihum, if you like, that needs tihur. So we can go from tahor to tihur, from purity to purification in English. And that's fine. And just holding both So we need to give permission to the eye that sees things as they are. And one of the places we give permission or authority, one of the places that we'll notice is me in the center. It's just going to be an experience. Here I am looking at a thought. If we give authority to experience, we will experience that. Very simply. And that experience is cutting through all the whole Buddhist teaching as emptiness and anatta and non-self and self and non-self and self. At this moment, at this moment, there is an observer that is watching a thought, maybe identifying with it, my thought, or maybe not. And this honesty is what we're really practicing here. So at this point, forget all theory about emptiness, about non-self, about self and non-self. All the Buddhist stuff, compost, okay? Goes to compost. Sorry, the suttas. But the Buddha said, if we get stuck on belief systems about self and non-self, it's like catching a snake by the tail. And what happens when you catch a snake by the tail? The head comes around and bites you. So you don't catch a snake by the tail, you catch it by its head. And this is an example. You don't catch Dharma teachings by conceptually catching them as a concept, as an idea, as a belief. You see them directly without giving them any labels. So forget emptiness, forget non-self, forget. But the seeing, this moment there is a watcher watching this thought. At this moment there is a me listening to this other me here, Stephen, talking. There is a subject that is receiving language. That's an experience, not a theory, nothing. And sometimes no subject. Just breathing or just listening to the birds. And where am I? I'm not really around. Oh, okay, no subject. So that seeing is what we're doing here in the retreat. We're discovering as the whole world of self, non-self, etc., by seeing the truth of things, which is the Dharma. The Dharma is not about concepts, although, of course, people have written millions of books, including myself. But like I say, compost. Right now, from the point of view of us here, they're not relevant, the concepts. We want to be directly seeing. Give awareness authority, not teachings. And one of the things that we can discover is that this person that is hearing right now speech is dynamic and changing all the time and is responding to the situation. And we were discovering that this subject here is all the time moving and all the time everything is dancing and everything is changing and everything is different. So the self anyway isn't a thing. We don't even need a whole retreat for that. We can, 5 minutes, we can understand that. That we're always responding differently and we're doing different things. And so there isn't a box inside called the self. It's a dynamic . So we meet it as it arises, the awareness is meeting us, ourselves, as we as it arises, the person, the receiver, the experiencer, as it arises. And when it doesn't arise, we experience it not arising. We have the birds instead, or we have the lunch bell that comes and we forget ourselves completely. We just think of lunch. Whatever. And we be friends with this experience of the dynamic nature of who it is that's sitting here experiencing things. We just dance with it, become friends with it. So that's a direction for the retreat. It's not a retreat that we're going to kind of have lots of learning about self and non-self. It's a retreat where we're going to, in a way, dance with the dynamic changing sense of the personal point of view. As it comes, as it goes, as it's strong, as it's weak, as it's... And that is exactly the practice. And so, in a way, the practice here is not so different from every other retreat that you've been on. It's not dramatically different. It's basically quite similar, because the teachings are similar. Awareness is similar. The practice of awareness is similar. The object can be a little bit different, but the way we approach the object will be the same. So if the object, for example, is, I don't know, pain in the body, that's our raw material, Choma Gelem. But the tools we use will be the same. If the object is the observer, Had Sofer, Amit Bonin, the object is the observer, the practice is the same. It arises, it passes, now it's strong, now it's weak, now there's a block, now it's shouting, now it's painful, now it's pleasant. And a lot of the practice that we're doing in any Dharma context is challenging our beliefs, challenging what we say and think to be a fact. In a way, it's a radical aspect of Dharma. There are no facts in Uvdot Beyikum. Hard one to accept. It's radical. There's a beautiful quote, very ancient quote, that says, whatever we think things are, they are always other than that. Whatever we think reality is, it's always other than that. So this way of holding our experience in the retreat, it grows as we practice day after day. The power to hold our experience grows. We find ourselves with more space to hold our experience, more space instead of being locked in Na'ul, Na'ulim, in a view, of opinion, a fact, an idea, a problem, an emotion, anger, a despair, a delight, a need. All of these things arise and pass away, and we gradually have more space. And when we have more space, then it will be much easier for us to see this so-called controller called me that seems to be somewhere in the middle of it all. There's more space, it'll be easier for us to to dance with this. We'll see it more. One time I was talking about self as the elephant in the room, Pir Bacheda, that we don't talk about because it's there all the time, but we dance around it, we do it. And someone said, as soon as we see the elephant in the room, that's when we begin to see the room. And there's something wise about that comment someone made. Maybe one of you made it, I don't know. I can't remember who said it. But it's wise. As soon as we begin to see the way our experience, we see the room and we see the elephant, we see we see the awareness and we see the self arising as the center or the owner or the identity. And it gets more playful. But all from seeing, not from theory. So everything gets a little more transparent, shakuf, as we look at it. Everything, as we look directly at anything, if we look at our hand directly, it becomes a question, what is this? And it becomes more transparent. Boundaries, the label, the identity of it, the owner of it, the use we make of it, the name we give it, the habits we have with it, it begins to open up. Same with everything we look at. It opens up and becomes more transparent. Whatever, the breathing, it doesn't matter. The sky above, the earth beneath. So, going back to something I said right at the beginning when we met before supper. There is a basic freedom that we have, fundamental freedom, primal, atik. And we tend to forget it. And we forget it because we build 1,000 times a day story. I am this, I need that, this is that, they are like that, I am this. This is who I am, this is what I need, this is what I don't like, this is what I do like, this should be, shouldn't be, etc. Our reactions, responses, our likes, our not likes, 1,000 times a day we're building sankharas, constructions, fabrications, and the big one is the me. So if we think about it like that, it's actually kind of a positive message. We built this me. It's not a pre-existing, totally unmovable thing that we can't change or look at or do anything with. It's built. And what is built can be unbuilt. The me is a fabrication, like any sankhara. And that gives us a positive, that's something positive. It's a fabrication. It's built on freedom. So if we can a little bit undo this building, we'll see the freedom under the me, through the me. So that's basically what I want to say just for now, short inspiration and direction. And I invite you, during this retreat, any moment, even very, very small, a whisper of freedom, a whisper of something bigger than us, than the me. Kind of the call, it calls us. It's not lost. It's calling us. And it can be really small moments of just okayness, or just connecting to a tree, or just connecting to our hand, or just letting a thought pass by and we feel a little lighter, or just, like I say, dancing a bit with our experience. And we sense, oh, there's more. So the call of freedom, give it interest, wherever it is, small moments where you can say, ah, moments of freedom. Okay, so we'll practice together a little bit.